let's first take a look at the signal, the electrical signal that comes from the transducer. And we'd like to build a little model about what that signal looks like. So we have the true value, which we call X star. And that's something that we actually don't know unless we do a calibration process, which I will talk about. But our measurement we're calling Y, and Y is some function of X star, but it also includes some problems. And the problem is an error, and we divide that error into the sum of what we call beta plus epsilon. And beta is our bias or offset that affects our accuracy. And epsilon is a noise, the measurement noise. And so we have our equation here, y equals x star plus beta plus epsilon. Now, very quickly here, of course, if we have a beta with a large absolute value, that means we have an offset or a bias, and that means we have low accuracy. And if we have a large error, we call that an error variance, or sigma squared, as you see here. Because the error, or the noise, epsilon, is what we refer to as a random quantity, or a random variable. And so it has two parameters, a mean, in this case, the mean is zero, and a variance, which is, again, our sigma squared. And so this is kind of a very simple model of what we can expect to deal with in a transducer, because all transducers have some form of bias and measurement noise, even though in some cases it might be so small you don't have to worry about. But in most cases, you do have to worry about it. Let's take a harder look at this noise epsilon. And remember, we had epsilon looking something like this, where we have a mean of zero and a variance of sigma squared. So epsilon is what we call a random variable. And it allows us to capture, using a mathematical symbol, in this case epsilon, a random quantity. And because it is a random quantity, it can't be described by a single number. And it's described by a distribution. And to just recover from your statistics or probability, this random quantity epsilon has some kind of distribution, which we model as a probability density function. And what you see here is a standard bell curve with a mean at zero. And this bell curve is often referred to as a Gaussian or normal distribution. But the idea here is we are able to quantify a random phenomenon using pretty simple mathematical ideas. So we have something called a random variable, and in this case that's epsilon, and it is parameterized by a mean, and this mean is also known as the expected value, and a variance, which determines its distribution here around that mean. Now, the cool thing about a random variable is that we can manipulate them like we manipulate other variables. We can add and subtract, we can do all kinds of operations on them, and then keep track of what's happening to the distribution. Now, let me make one final point here. If you remember, we had a measurement Y, which was the true value plus an offset, beta, plus our measurement noise, epsilon. Now, there would be nothing wrong with writing this as, say, x star plus eta, where eta has a mean that is given by beta and a variance given by sigma squared. This is just a choice of modeling, and I want to make that clear because there isn't just one way to model anything, including random phenomena. So our choice is to keep things simple. So we separate the bias beta from the noise epsilon. But there's, again, no particular reason to do it either way, except in this case, what I think is probably makes it a little easier to think about them separately. We're trying to consider what sort of issues or problems we have with the signal coming from the transducer. So if you remember, we talked about part one, dealing with the fidelity of the transducer signal. So the first step is to do evaluation and calibration. And the first sub-step of that, we'll call it 1A here, is to determine the accuracy. And by doing that, we find the bias beta. The second sub-step there is to determine the precision. And we want to find the noise variance or power. Now, remember we had this idea that epsilon was some kind of random quantity or random variable with a mean zero and a variance sigma squared. Now, it turns out that we have a very, very convenient way to think about this variance. Now, you're all familiar with computing the power of deterministic electrical signals. And obviously, we could write P of t equals V of t times I of t to get the power of a deterministic signal. If the signal is random, it's not quite so straightforward. We have a signal, we'll call it just for example x of t, and if we want to understand the variance, we would write something like the expected value, and this is just mathematical code for the mean of something like, and I'm actually getting rid of some of the details here, something like the square of the signal. So this squaring is indicative of the fact that we're doing something on the order of power, because remember, we can write that the deterministic power is proportional to V squared in many cases. So the random power of a signal, X of t, would be naturally proportional to the square of that signal. So the point here of all this is to remember that when we're dealing with the statistical phenomenon of variance, we're dealing with the double E, or physical phenomenon, of power, but for a random signal. After that segue of thinking about variance as power, we've now completed our initial discussion of the evaluation of the transducer quality and calibrating it. The second step that we'll deal with is to design algorithms to get the desired performance. So one of those is to manage the noise, and that connects with determining how bad the noise is. And another one is to subtract the bias. And in the next few slides, I'll be talking about some basic ways to get at these problems in a powerful but useful way. Okay, step 1A, estimating the bias. How do we do that? So we're in a calibration procedure, and this might be where we purchase a transducer from some supplier, and we need to characterize its performance. So we start out by writing down an equation. Y sub I equals X star plus beta plus N sub I. I'm going to mark this as equation 1 because we'll refer to it later. We have our true value, X star. We have a bias term, beta, and we also have random noise, eta sub I. And let me correct this, actually. It would be better to maintain consistency. So we'll call this epsilon sub I, as we did before. So this is our measurement noise, and our goal is to estimate beta. So we have this subscript I, and we're going to say that I can be a value between 1 and n. And the idea here is that we have n independent measurements. So imagine that we have our transducer, we bring it in the lab, we're trying to understand how good it is in terms of its bias. So we're going to take n independent measurements, and the key word here is independence. So we need to talk about what that means. And the idea here is that when we take each of those n measurements, the noise is statistically independent from measurement to measurement. So remember now that our bias, epsilon I, has a mean or expected value of 0. So what this means is that all of the bias is captured by the term beta. So what this means is that we know the truth, X star. We know what that is. And you might ask how we can do that. Well, one way is to measure it using a more expensive in-the-lab instrument. So remember that we're trying to calibrate a transducer that will go out into the field. So it's going to be small, might be less accurate, but it might also be because it's cheaper, because we might want to have dozens or hundreds of them. So in the lab, we can use one expensive device to calibrate many, many smaller, cheaper devices. So let's go ahead and write down an equation that we need to understand this bias. Here it is. Z sub I equals Y sub I minus X star. This equals beta plus epsilon sub I. All right, so basically the idea here is we take all of our measurements, Y sub I, we subtract the truth, and this gives us the value of Z sub I, which is beta plus epsilon sub I. So again, remember that our goal is to understand what beta is. And we'll do that in the next slide. Let's rewrite our corrected set of calibration measurements, ZI. We'll call that equation 2. And remember, our goal here in this part is to estimate the bias beta, and we use something called the sample mean. And this sample mean is computed from the set of these measurements, Z1 through Z sub n. And the sample mean of the ZIs, if you will be our estimate, beta hat, of our bias. So the definition of the sample mean in this case, we'll call it beta hat sub n, is equal to 1 over n times the sum I equals 1 to n of the ZIs. And this is just a definition of the sample mean, and it's a very good measurement, as we'll see a little bit later. So far now, we've come up with an estimate of the bias, beta hat, and so now we're at exercise, if you will, or task 1B, which is to estimate the measurement noise. And we'll do that using something called the sample variance. We're going to write two expressions for the sample variance, and we'll call it V sub Z. It, too, is a sum over all the values of Z that we get. But in this case, we take Z sub I, and we subtract our sample mean. We square it, we sum those squares, and we divide by n. So here is where we are taking an average. And here is where we are looking at the squared variation. Now let me write another expression for V sub Z, which you should also know. It is just like the previous expression, with the sum from 1 over n of this squared difference between Z sub I and beta hat. But the difference is that here we're dividing by 1 over n minus 1. This latter estimate of the measurement noise is called the unbiased estimate. And I can't explain to you here why it's unbiased, but it turns out that if we use this upper expression, what happens is that the estimate you get is biased just in the same way that we were talking about a transducer biasing. In other words, there is a fixed deterministic offset that comes into play. But it turns out each of these expressions for the sample variance are used in different cases, and if you have a large n, you'll see that it doesn't make that much difference. But you should be aware that they are both used. Okay. So what this are saying now is that our measurement noise has an estimated variance of V sub Z. And keep in mind also this variance is a power, as we've talked about before. Now, just to make it clear, the measurement noise also is what we called epsilon. So the connection here is that if you recall, epsilon was a random quantity with a mean of 0 and our variance of sigma squared. And what we're saying is that our estimate of sigma squared is V sub C. So let me write that down. Our estimate of sigma squared is V sub Z. Task 2 was coming up with signal processing algorithms to actually deal with the signal in the field. And we talked about managing the amount of noise, and removing the bias. So just to summarize, of course, the bias is relatively easy. Once you've estimated the bias, it can be subtracted. And Keep in mind, however, there may be a subtlety involved in that the bias may change with the value. So you may be actually estimating the bias at different values, say, for example, in temperature. So if the temperature is below zero, you might have a different bias than if you do when the temperature is extremely warm. So the second part of managing the noise is trying to come up with a way to minimize the effect of the noise, in other words, remove it. So what we want to do is get rid of the uncertainty to the level that we desire. So this is in the field, or when our sensor network is deployed, we get data and we want to try to remove the noise as much as we can. So the first thing that we can do, of course, is try to understand how much noise we have. And the expression that I want to first write has to do with the variance of beta. And I'm going to call it beta sub n, because if you remember, our estimate of beta was indeed a function of the number of samples that we took in our calibration. The variance of the estimate turns out to be the variance of the noise epsilon divided by n, or we can write this as sigma squared over n. And this is very cool, because if we do a better calibration, in other words, if we increase the value of n, the variance of our estimate gets smaller and smaller. And of course, we'd like to make it as small as possible. So the idea is that more measurements get us closer to the true value. Now, this is true both in the calibration process and, as I mentioned, in the field. So lots of measurements are a good thing, under one very important proviso: independent measurements. So let's talk about that just a little bit before we go on. So this idea of independence is very important. So the noise that we're talking about, this epsilon, is usually what we call thermal noise or Gaussian noise, and it exists in every electronic component, including transducers and the analog electronics that follows them. And this noise is usually such that it is independent from sample to sample, as long as your samples aren't too close together in time. So that's where we get this independence. So you can think of it as a random perturbation, such that a perturbation at time t is different than a perturbation at time t plus 1, as long as that interval is large enough. Let's wrap up what we've covered so far. We have our equations, y sub I equals x star, the truth, plus beta, the offset or bias, plus epsilon I, the noise. We also have z sub I, which is just beta plus epsilon I. Now let's look at what happens in the two phases. First, in the lab, we're going to do a calibration. Let's say we have m calibration samples. And remember that we know x star, and that's because we have a calibration device that gives us the true value. So we have two tasks. The first is to estimate the bias. For that, we have the equation beta sub m, because we're doing m samples, 1 over m, sum I equals 1 to m, sum all over all the samples z sub I. We can do that because we're able to remove x star because that is known from our calibration device. The next thing is to estimate the noise variance. So this is the measurement noise. And we call that b sub z. And that is equal to the expected value of the sum z sub I minus beta hat squared. And we have I equals 1 to m here as well. And the point of estimating the noise variance is that we need to understand that to understand how many samples we want to take in the field to reduce the effect of noise. Now we've completed our work in the lab, we understand the bias, and we understand how noisy our measurements are. This tells us what we need to do in the field when we program our sensor. Here, we also have two tasks. First is to sample n times and average those samples. So here we use n instead of m. And we'll call it b sub n, the value that we get from taking n samples. It's simply the sample mean of the values from our analog to digital converter. And with a little math, you can show that this turns out to be x star plus beta plus 1 over n times the sum, I equals 1 to n, of epsilon I. What is the variance of our measured value V sub n? We can show that it is equal to sigma squared over n. So as we take more samples, we're able to reduce the amount of noise that corrupts that sample. Then the second step is to subtract beta hat from V sub n. And then we have our measurement in which we have filtered out the noise and removed the bias.